Hello, and thank you for joining Strong to Survive on our first ever podcast. Today is January 26, 2014. We will be discussing the issue of rape, sexual assault, and unwanted sexual contact through the lens of the male victim and male survivor. Strong to Survive is an organization based in the United States of America. We are here to support male victims of all forms of abuse. We want to ensure that we are able to help bring resources as well as advocacy and counseling to those who need it most. We hope that you enjoy the podcast today, and for more information, please look up our website, www.strongtosurvive.org. You can also email us at info@strongtosurvive.org. Thank you very much, and have a great day.
Okay. Well, welcome everybody to the Strong to Survive call podcast recording on male rape. And I'm expecting a panelist to show up here any minute, but I wanted to go ahead and get started. Hopefully they'll show up here soon. It's time for the call to start, so we'll just go ahead and get started. My name is Eric Landon, and I am the president and founder of Strong to Survive, which is a male advocacy and activism organization founded to support male victims of all forms of abuse. And it was actually founded last year, 2013, and we were started under the direction of Julie Rivas, who is the president and CEO of Sandule International Advocacy Group. Sandule means without pain. And Sandule is an organization set up to assist victims of child abuse as well as victims of domestic violence. And I was brought on initially to help head up the male advocacy portion of Sandule. And we decided that there just needed to be a larger presence working to help men and boys who are victims and survivors of abuse. So Julie asked me if I would be willing to help start up a whole new organization. And Strong to Survive was born out of that vision. And so I'm very grateful to Julie for that. And here we are. So we are starting this podcast. And Strong to Survive can be found at strong2survive.org. We're also on Twitter at strong to survive. We're on Tumblr, strong2survive.tumblr.com. We're on Instagram at strongtosurvive, and we're also facebook.com/strongtosurvive. So you can find us all over social media if you're interested in learning more. This podcast will be available on iTunes. So you can search for us, Strong to Survive, with the number 2. But let's go ahead and get started. Like I said, if you have any questions throughout this call, you press 5-star, and I will be able to unmute you. 5-star, I'll see that you have a question, I'll be able to unmute you. So the reason that I wanted to have this podcast is to talk about the issue of male rape and male sexual assault. According to the RAIN website, RAIN is the Rape and Incest National Network. Their website says that men and boys are often the victims of the crimes of sexual assault, sexual abuse, and rape. In fact, in the U.S., about 10% of all victims are male. And the term sexual assault refers to a number of different crimes, ranging from unwanted sexual touching to forced penetration. So I do want to make a little disclaimer. This call may be a little triggering for some people, and I will probably use some clinical language that may be triggering for people. So I do want to put that out there as well, just to get it out of the way, because I don't want anybody to you know, put themselves in a situation that may be harmful to them. But I do want to make sure that we address this issue very candidly. And for anybody who is joining, if you have questions at all throughout the call, press 5-star, and I'll be able to see you and know that you have a question. So what is rape? Rape is forced sexual intercourse, including vaginal, anal, or oral penetration. And penetration may be by a body part or an object. What is sexual assault? Sexual assault is unwanted sexual contact that stops short of rape or attempted rape. It could include sexual touching or fondling. But it also could be used in some states interchangeably with rape. So some states, their law includes sexual assault interchangeably with rape. So we have to be careful. So these two terms, sexual assault and rape, sometimes are thrown around very loosely. But as I read before, 10% of all victims that are reported are male in the U.S. Okay. So why is it less reported? Male survivors of sexual assault and rape are less likely to report or disclose sexual assault and rape to others. In fact, the Rape and Incest National Network in 2006 released a report that males are least likely to report a sexual assault, even though it is estimated that they make up 10% of all victims. And I've compiled a list of reasons why, which is not very comprehensive, but this is just a short list. The first reason is a fear of stigma of being labeled as gay or being emasculated. From a very young age, boys are taught to be tough. They're told to be strong. They're told to bury their feelings. They're told to tough things out. Boys are taught to, you know, not feel things. They're taught that emotions are weak. And, you know, so these things are very real. These programs are very real for boys and men. The second reason is a fear of not being believed. And this is a real fear that I have actually, having talked to a few victims, have seen happen over and over again, where victims have told me that they have tried to reach out for help and have been told over and over again that men are not victims. Men are perpetrators. So, you know, this is a huge issue, the fear of not being believed. So it looks like my panelist, co-panelist is here. And so I want to see if, Yvonne, can you press 5-star so I can identify where you're at? I want to make sure that you're here. 5-star. I'm going to put you on the spot, Yvonne. All right. Well, when you push 5-star, I will see you, and then I'm going to unmute you. So Yvonne is the director of fundraising for Sans Douleur International Group, which is the organization that I spoke of before, the parent organization of Strong to Survive. And I just want to take a break from where I was just to bring her in and introduce her, because I think it's important. I wanted to have kind of a conversation going on this call so that we could all just kind of talk about these things so that I'm not the only one talking. So Yvonne, if you could just press 5-star on your phone, 5 and then star, I will see you and I will unmute you, and then we will get the rest of this call going. Um, So yeah, like I was saying before, the fear of not being believed is a real fear, and it happens quite often. For men, there you are. I see you. All right. Hi, Yvonne.
Can you hear me?
I hear you now. How are you?
Oh, wow. Okay, great. How are you?
Welcome.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm really excited about the podcast.
Well, thank you for joining us. I'm glad that you're here with us.
No problem.
So we're just kind of going over, you know, just the different reasons why men are less likely to disclose their sexual assault and rape. And so I guess I'll just continue, and then I'll let you just jump in as you feel necessary. But I definitely want to have your support here with me. So I appreciate you being on a call with me.
No problem.
Great. So the other reason is the stigma of being perceived as weak. As I alluded to before, there's that programming that boys are brought up with to be strong, to not have any feelings, and to not show any weakness. Lesbian, gay, bi, and transgendered victims tend to shoulder the blame and internalize it by saying, this is what happens in our community, or I should have been safer. I should have protected myself. So rather than going forward and saying that this happened to them, they turn it on themselves because they're used to, you know, being treated poorly. Okay, so it's imperative to understand that men do not have widespread access. Oh, am I on speakerphone, Yvonne? Getting a little bit of an echo here.
Oh. I hope it's my fault. Okay, are you good now?
I'm good now. Okay. It is imperative to understand that men do not have widespread access to resources like self-help books and support groups, as most women survivors do. Given the extreme stigma surrounding adult male rape, a survivor usually deals with his issues in total isolation. So that's one thing that I think is important to talk about, because having been a survivor of childhood sexual abuse, I remember being like 13 and, you know, I disclosed to my mom, and she went to the library because she didn't know what to do. And she was going to find me a book, something to help me. And there weren't any. All of the books were talking about girls and women. And talk about feeling like isolated, completely alone. It was like, wow, am I the only one? Am I the only boy that's ever experienced this? It led to me being kind of suicidal, you know? So these are the issues that I think men are facing as they go forward and are trying to deal with disclosing. Are there any other issues that you can think of, Yvonne?
Well, for me, I am a African-American woman. And mm-hmm. I can tell you, without looking at statistics, I know offhand about 4 African-American men, brothers. Him wearing wife beater rocking, probably dope boys when they get older, brothers. These are you know, rough guys, and they mm-hmm. respond to sexual abuse. And then I know about 1 that was abused by a male, and the 4 was sexually abused and molested by women, and 2 minus the ones that I just explained, unless they're younger than the age of 14, which is probably between the age of 10 and maybe 3 and 4, and they were abused either by a male or a female. So,
wow.
Not looking at statistics, yeah. So without looking at statistics, without knowing what the charts say, that's a problem. And mm-hmm. I think out of all of those victims, one speaks so loud to me because he has children of his own, and they're all boys. And so far, his oldest is having a reoccurring issue in school about how he treats females and how he speaks to his classmates, and it's very vulgar and derogatory, and they've already explained that they would, if he doesn't stop, bring him up on sexual abuse. Now, let me rewind, and just as I was telling this male, who is a grown, he's 30-something years old, he's a grown man, but his story is he was abused by not just teachers, but women of the neighborhood. He was a boy. Mm-hmm. But his father, when he went to his father said, my boy, my son, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's society so twisty. And he thought this is what it is to be a man. Now, he's younger than 14. So he goes to elementary school, middle school, high school, college, adulthood. And not to take away from a woman being raped, but if you look at the cycle of a woman going through sexual abuse, there's issues of promiscuity, and the same thing happens with a man. When you have Absolutely. A woman that's being raped and or molested, you have issues with hating men, not trusting men, living a destructive life. And a man can do the same thing. We call them dogs. We say they womanize. We say they're cheaters. But society does not teach us to dig roots. Society does not teach us to get to the core of it. Society doesn't teach us that. Society says, you're a woman that hurt a boy. We're going to slap you on your wrist, and you're just a sexual offender. But it's not looked as the same thing. But if a male does that to a young girl, either they're justified or they're into jail. But we have, and it's a bit, it's a very small margin if you look at the big picture. We have a small margin of compassion. But when it comes to men, there's no compassion at all.
Right. And I think you hit a really good point on that. You know, recently, I'm not sure if you're aware of it, Chris Brown disclosed that his first sexual experience was at 8 years old with a much older woman.
Yeah.
That, you know, and there were people on Twitter and on social media applauding that, you know, saying good for him, you know, what a man, and like kind of like what you were saying, and it's like, no, that's rape.
And this is the thing. Sorry to keep chiming in, but I
no, that's great. That's what I wanted.
Oh, because I'm a very boisterous woman. I can't be quiet if I wanted to. At the end of the day, people say society. This is the thing. We are society. You.
Yeah.
We are. We change the rules, but because we have our own personal experiences, because we are so ignorant to the core, we don't think to change. If you have a young Donnie McKirkwin, Tyler Perry, I believe I found out because of SCIAG, the post up there, I think it was Sugar Ray Leonard, there's many of men that have been sexually abused, but nobody knows. Now, if you look at a woman and she has been sexually abused and she either has a lot of children or maybe has none, but her destructive lifestyle, her it manifests in another way. She doesn't trust. She hurts, or because she's been hurt. Look at how it manifests. What do you think comes of a male? And society says men are supposed to be strong, don't cry, put it on your back, you provide, you work hard, you come home, you know, this is what you're supposed to do. What do you do with a male that's been hurt to the core and nobody knows? And how do you think that's going to come out another way?
Well, yeah, look at the drug problems, look at the alcohol problems, look at the domestic violence problems we have. I mean, it manifests in all those different ways.
So many men, if you look in the jujitsu system, men that rape, sometimes mm-hmm. they've been raped, whether it be by a female and or a man. I read a book some years ago, and I did not know till the middle, close to the ending, that the character that I was presuming to be a woman was actually a transgendered male. And it hurt me because as he was telling his story, you thought it was a woman. And they kept making reference to the character's hands. And I didn't think anything twice. And it did dawn on me, but it didn't. But towards the end, when they revealed that it was a transgender, it all made sense. His hands were big, and he didn't like that. But during the story, it was in the place of a woman. I think society makes homophobia to the point of, if you're gay, it's okay, but if you're gay, it's not okay. And that's hurtful. Mm-hmm. If a child is hurting, people care. But if a child is hurting, no one cares. But if a grown man is hurting, no one cares. There's too many men on this earth for people not to care. If women want men to step up and to be a male role model, great. But everyone has a core. And when you hurt a child, male or female, to the core, somebody has to deal with that. Somebody right. has to be accountable.
Right. And that's why we're here, right? That's what we're trying to do.
When you asked me to be part of the podcast, for me, I know these brothers would never call in. I know these brothers would never get on your website. They're not going to do it. They're going to chalk it up on their chin. That's how they live their lives. But I pray that I could be a little voice for them. They were hurt.
You know what's great? You know what's great about this podcast is that they don't have to call in. They can listen without anybody even knowing that they listen to this, because it's going to be recorded and it's going to be on iTunes. And so people can listen to this. Men can listen to it on their own when nobody even knows. And maybe it'll help somebody. And that's what I'm hoping. And not only that, I'm hoping that we can bring some awareness, because you talked about it. You talked about changing society. We're society, right? So okay. You and I and the people that are listening right now, we're already kind of wanting to change our minds about things. We're already wanting to look at things in a different way. We're already saying, hey, this is the problem. There's something wrong here. We want to do something about this, because this needs to stop. This needs to be changed right now. So what are we doing? We're doing something about it. We're talking about it. You know, a lot of people say, yeah, you're talking about it. Big deal. But you know what? If we don't talk about it, if we just pretend like it's not happening, my grandmother always used to say, if what you ignore, you allow. Mm. What you ignore, you allow. So the longer we ignore these issues, the longer they're going to continue to happen. So if we face them and we look at them and we call them out and we say, you know what, this is happening. This is real. Chris Brown, you were molested.
And he has anger, and I don't know his other relationships and that publicized, but I know he grew up also in a home that had domestic violence, which that manifests in a whole other way. Somebody didn't – they looked at him dancing and singing, and they glorified that. But that was his outlet. But nobody dealt with his ugly. Everybody got ugly. Mm-hmm. Nobody dealt with his ugly. And then society
– I feel for the guy.
Huh?
I feel for him. Because – and, you know, I'm not condoning what he did to Rihanna
right.
at all.
Right.
I do not condone violence against women. I don't condone violence against anybody at all, ever. I don't think it's okay. But I will say that it is a symptom of what happened to him as a child, left untreated, ignored, and permitted.
And this is the thing. Everyone looks at how he dances, how he sings. He had his redemption, but it came out in a whole nother way. Like, yeah, I did this. The world, so because they didn't look at the core. They didn't look at the fact that he's hurting. And there's a saying that I heard years ago, and it comes up every now and then on Instagram and social network: hurt people hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
Forget he can dance. Forget he can sing. Talk to that little boy. Talk to little Chris. Hug little Chris. Let little Chris know someone hurt you, and that's not okay. You don't have to take out your anger on someone else. Things in our lives that we tend to suppress and push down manifest in many different ways. Not to get too personal, but I grew up in a house that had just about every kind of abuse that you could imagine. And I just now, after about maybe 16, 17 years, had to be face-to-face with the aggressive person. And I was not sexually abused by this person and or molested. I'm a little bit too outspoken. And I thank God for giving me that boldness despite spankings and punishment. That's a God-given talent for me, so I would never suppress that. But there was a certain other type of abuse that went on the house that I had to endure, and it does affect my daily life. I'm a 32-year-old woman that's a mom, and it's difficult, but I had to come face-to-face with someone that I knew sexually abused one of my siblings, and it was not an easy feat. But I will tell you this, in my heart of hearts, God has a way of working on a person. Now, I don't know what most people call God or what their foundation is, but he does. And when you come to terms with your ugly and your demons and your inner self, and you allow yourself to be exposed, there's a blessing in that. It's not a hindrance to you anymore. But the thing is, because we are society, each individual person, nobody wants to be open. Nobody wants to be exposed. Nobody wants to come clean about who hurt them, because nobody wants to, like you said, nobody. A man does not want to be considered weak, and a woman, weak or not, where, you know, how were you dressed? What did you say? What were you drinking? Where were you? You know, what did you insinuate? How did you look? How was your hair? All those things. But when it comes to a male, it's, I hate to say it, but it's different, and it's hurtful. It was hurtful as a female. As a mother of a young boy, to have grown men, these are street dudes.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't glorify it when they told me this story. They were being open.
Yeah.
And that was hurtful because they can't be open across the board because society right. has not set that up for them.
So that's a good point, and I think that's why Strong to Survive and Julie and my you know, our vision is to make that a different change in society. You know, the more we talk about it, the more we look at it, we can say it's all right. It's okay. It's okay for you to have these feelings. You know what? It doesn't change who you are as a man. It doesn't mean that you're weak. You know what? That's why we called this organization Strong to Survive. Because it made you strong. You're strong because you survived. You're not weak because this happened to you. You're strong because you survived that. That is where your strength is as a man, because you made it through that. And then you're even stronger because you came forward.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to say the ones that didn't come forward aren't strong, because they're strong to have survived. That's why I called it Strong to Survive. I didn't call it Strong to Come Forward. You know what I mean?
But
I'm just saying, this organization, I'm hoping and I pray that we can, you know, even if it's just for one person, it would be enough for me. For one person just to say that made a difference for me. And that's why this podcast is so important to me, to have this platform to share and to give a voice to those people that can't say it out loud, you know, because somebody has to. And I was able to tell my story for the first time last week. I don't know if you had a chance to hear it yet, but that was very empowering for me. You know, it was like, wow, I was finally able to give a voice to what happened to me. And I just felt free, like that stuff didn't have any more strength over me. And you know, you have to be ready to do that, though. It takes a lot out of you.
As a female, and even as a female, and forget, not say forget being a mom, but as a female, or forgetting being a mom, I could only imagine. I will say it's a blessing, but I have been blessed with a voice. I have been blessed with a boldness. I have been blessed with a firm stance on right is right and wrong is wrong, whereas my siblings or friends, you know, maybe that's just not They're a total blessing as of now. They've been blessed with a forgiving heart. You have to be forgiving in this situation. Well, I'm not. And what they went through, I did not go through. I witnessed it, and it tears me up. I internalize it. I relive it. Where my sibling can block it out and keep moving forward. I can't. It comes to me as often as it doesn't come to my sibling, and it irks me. And sometimes I want my sibling to be just as mad as I am. I want my sibling to want to march to Washington. I want my sibling to raise banners and awareness. But you know what? That sibling has a forgiving spirit. She has a forgiving heart. And I thank God for her, because had she not, I don't know who she would be yet. For 32 years of my life until I met SDIAG, I didn't know why I had this fight in me, this worry in me. And then when I met these guys throughout my life, I never understood their stories would make sense to me up until you. And I thank God for letting everything come into play. I really do pray, and I know in my heart of hearts, because you said something that I always say, you only have to reach one person. It only takes one person. It only takes one seed. It takes one seed to make an apple tree, and one seed to make one apple tree would sprout and feed many. It only takes one. Never think your work or your labor is in vain, because it is not. You might bless somebody, and you don't even know you're blessing them. They might not even be in America. Because perversion and lust and manipulation and anger and deceit is worldwide. But you only need one. And what a day is when some young man or some grown-up can stand up and be like, you know what, no more. I don't know if you know Donnie McClurkin's story. I don't know if you know Tyler Perry's story. Yes, I was in tears. These are the few men that have stood up and stood out. And people bash him. I'm an African-American woman. I've seen he just like a woman. He shouldn't be taught. I let them, whatever. But this is the thing. If God going to reach you, how he going to reach you, he going to reach you. I don't look at him less than a man because he dressed as Madea. And I don't look at Donnie McClurkin any funny because he's on a pulpit and he's praising God. I never judge homosexuality because when I was in a church growing up, it only got addressed one time in my life, I can honestly say. And it wasn't so much that you're gay or this is what. It was just like, look, if this is your lifestyle, it is what it is. It might not be a pleasing to God, but when you put your lifestyle down, whatever it is, you can have your intimate relationship with Christ. When you put your flesh down, when you crucify your flesh and you start walking in the sense of God, you know, depending on how you, what your faith is, that's between you and God. It has nothing to do with you and man. Man will always judge you. And who wants to be judged? What grown man with children, with a business or not a business, a humble job or maybe no job, who wants to be judged? Because they went through something that hurt them to the core, and they're trying to figure it out because a man is not supposed to cry. A man is not supposed to show weakness. That's hurtful. Women, we cry. That's what we do.
I think you hit a good point, too. We definitely, you know, Strong to Survive want to reach out to the LGBT community and be there for them because there is a lot of pain. And we want to support. I mean, you know, and one of our advocates, in fact, he was abused by his partner pretty violently. And when he called to ask for help, he was told that men aren't victims, men are abusers. And he was trying to find a shelter to go to. And that's what he was told. And he didn't have anywhere to go, you know. And, I mean, that's just wrong. So I agree with you. There's no place for judgment. There's only room for love and for acceptance and for tolerance and for healing in this organization. And that's all we can provide. And so I'd like to, if you don't mind, I'd like to move on to some of the myths of rape. And I don't know if you have them in front of you, but maybe we can kind of tag team them and go one by one and see if we can try to get them knocked out in the next 20 minutes. That way we have like 10 minutes for question and answer. Is that okay?
All right. I'm a little long-winded.
That's okay. That's all right. We're just going to try and get this going. So let's see here. Okay. So the first one, the first myth, of course, is men can't be sexually assaulted. And the reality, of course, is that men can be sexually assaulted. Any man can be sexually assaulted regardless of their size, alleged strength, appearance, or sexual orientation. Sexual assault generally includes any unwanted or non-consensual sexual contact or attention, which could even be inappropriate touching, harassment, exhibitionism, kissing, or even more specific, sexual assault could involve male rape or unwanted, non-consensual, forced sexual contact. How about the next one? Do you have that one in front of you, Yvonne?
I have to reboot my computer. I got thrown off Wi-Fi.
Okay. All right. I'll just keep going.
Okay.
So, and then if you want to jump in and comment, then feel free. So male rape is not as serious as female rape. I have a feeling you'll have something to say about this. All victims, regardless of their gender, this is a reality, all victims, regardless of their gender, undoubtedly suffer as a result of sexual assault or rape. It is just simply not true that women suffer more than men, and to say that, I think, is very insulting. Indeed, men, or even to say that men suffer more than women is insulting as well. So in the aftermath of sexual assault, male and female survivors share dealing with many of the same issues, such as anxiety, flashbacks, PTSD, nightmares, guilt, shame, self-blame, all these, you know, same issues, and as well as, like, the possibility of getting STDs.
Right.
Any thoughts?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was saying, you know, the cycle, you know, you say it's not more important than female, but if you take out the gender, it goes, you know, it coincides with the two, the promiscuity, maybe how you view a female. It's very, one aggression is no more better than the other. They both don't produce anything positive. But again, it goes back to how society views it. And that's what needs the perception, you know?
Right. So I see we have a new caller. I just want to mention, if you have any questions at any time, press 5-star. And we can see that you have a question, and I can unmute you, and you'll be able to ask your question. So 5-star. Okay. The next one. Only gay men are sexually assaulted. That's a myth. The reality is that heterosexual, gay, bisexual, any kind of man equally are likely to be sexually assaulted. Being sexually assaulted has nothing to do with your sexual orientation. Your sexuality has no more to do with being raped than it does with being robbed. Okay. The next myth, only gay men sexually assault other men. Actually, most of the men that sexually assault other men typically identify themselves as heterosexual, which is an interesting fact. And this is one thing that I think people need to understand, that rape is not about sex. It is never about sex. It is always about power. Mm-hmm. It is always about control. Mm-hmm. It is always about violence. It is never about attraction. And it is never about sex. So to think that when people say, like, oh, you know, she was asking for it because she was wearing such and such, that is so wrong. Or to say, you know, he was gay, so he was asking for it, that is so wrong, because it is never about sex. It is always about power. It is always about control. It is always about violence. Any thoughts, Yvonne?
That I will agree, because, just the guys that have spoken to me about their predator being male, it was never about pleasing or an act of intimacy. It was always control and being subservient, but in a twisted way, and that is male, female, child, adult, that's unacceptable, period. You don't do that to a kid. You don't do that to an adult. If you are homosexual, that does not give someone else the right to violate you. Point blank, period.
Right.
Your body,
I agree.
Your body. Yeah, your body is your body. No one can, no, that's wrong.
All right, here's a good one. Men cannot be sexually assaulted by women. We already talked about this one. Although the majority of perpetrators are male, women can also sexually assault men, so we know that. While the vast majority of perpetrators who abuse males are male themselves, an estimated 3% are female, and that's, again, only what is reported. So some of these statistics could be false, could be wrong, because we only have the information is only as good as what's being reported. So, again, rape and sexual assault is not about physical strength, but about power and control. And it's also because many men have never considered the serious possibility of being raped or sexually assaulted by women, there's a high likelihood that they may just freeze if that happened to them, and it to take them by surprise. And often, many men fear that if they disclose that, they would be greeted with disbelief, and it would not be taken seriously. And so they don't disclose it. So I just want to talk about, I shared something on Tumblr yesterday, I think it was, on the Strong to Survive Tumblr page. And it was, are you familiar with that segment, What Would You Do, with John Quinones?
No, I'm not. I'm taking notes now. I didn't know you had a Tumblr.
Oh, yeah, I've got everything. I'm all over the internet. So John Quinones, he's an anchor or a news telecaster guy. And so he does this really interesting thing called What Would You Do? And they stage these, like, weird, setups. Like, one was an interracial couple, and the dad comes in and, starts yelling at the daughter in a restaurant and tries to see what would happen if that happened in real life and who would stand up for the daughter and her boyfriend. Well, there was one he did with a woman slipping a date rape drug in a man's drink. And it was really interesting. I'm sure you can guess what happened. But nobody except for one woman said anything. They did it a few times.
Oh. That's how backward and how ignorant we can be, male and female society as a whole, to how vulnerable a man can be just the same.
So it's interesting because they repeated it. This was a repeat from the same segment they did with a woman, and every time it happened with a woman, somebody spoke up. Which I think is great, and I absolutely, awesome that people are speaking up for women. But this is something that I think we need to look at. I think we need to continue speaking up for women. I'm not discounting that. Let's continue that. Absolutely. Keep speaking up for women. Let's keep these organizations going. Violence against women is awful. Rape against women is awful. I'm not discounting that at all by having this organization or having this podcast. And I'm so glad that you're here with me, Yvonne, as a woman's voice here, because I don't want to be that, kind of sounding misogynistic at all.
No.
So
rape against anyone is awful.
Right.
I don't know statistics. I'm not going to lie to you, but if, let's just say women in the last such and such years have been heard, how many men or boys have been unheard? If we're, let's just say we're just now getting heard. Do you understand where I'm going with that? No.
Yeah, exactly.
So no one is better than the other. And if women, in a sense, are not heard, where do you think that margin of men or young men or young boys or infant boys, where do you think their voice lies?
Right.
Like, you know?
Right. So I guess the point was that, you know, it's like there was a woman who spoke up finally. The last segment that they did with that, a woman, she said, she called the lady out. She said, "What are you doing to his drink?" And the woman said, "Oh, I'm not doing anything." And she said, "I just saw you slip something in his drink." And she said, "No, I didn't slip anything in his drink." And she said, "Oh, yes, you did. I saw you. And when he comes back from the restroom, I'm going to tell him." And, you know, after it was all said and done, the camera crew came out, and John Quinoa said, "You know, what made you speak out?" And she said, "Well, this is wrong. You know, you can't just drug people, and you know, it doesn't matter if it's a man or a woman. You just can't take advantage of people like that." But all the men in the other scenarios, it was men that were watching it happen, and they were joking about it. So this is interesting. You know, the men just let it happen. So she could have taken him and done God knows what to him, robbed him, raped him, whatever, and they were just joking about it. So I thought that was really an interesting segment. So, yeah, it's on my Tumblr. It was posted yesterday. And if you're strong to survive, strongtosurvive.tumblr.com, it was a really interesting point on that. So, okay, I think we should
go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Quickly, there's a CSI of, I think I want to say Miami, of that same situation. There was a male dancer, and he was abused by the women, and it took the whole hour, you know how that goes, to get to the bottom line. And the women were so aggressive, and they were very ignorant, and they were very, very mean about it. And when the male was speaking, it's kind of like he went unheard. But it takes somebody to kind of dig, like get to the core. And he shouldn't have had to, you know, put it out on the line and speak of it. And these women, they felt justified. But male or female, they always feel justified as to why they do what they do, you know.
Yeah. Right. So here's an interesting one that I think a lot of men will use on themselves as a way of self-blame, that arousal during the assault means they wanted it.
Your body responds. Okay, let's keep it plain. When someone tickles you, you might not want it, you might not like it, but your body is going to respond to it. And that's just a tickle. You're going to laugh. A lot of people.
When the doctor hits your knee, your leg's going to kick out.
That's something that we have as being human beings, and that is not a surefire way to say, oh, your body is going to respond a certain way, point blank period. That is definitely a myth that needs to be debunked. Period. Your body responds.
Right.
Your body. You know, you can't control arousal. You know, to an extent, you cannot. You know, if someone's doing something to you and it's not of your will, there's other things that, you know, fear and all that type of stuff. But your body responds a certain way. That is. And that's why so many men, they live in that captivity, you know, that mental captivity, that emotional captivity, and that's very sad.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad.
Here's another one. I asked for it.
Mm-mm.
No one ever asked for it. No one wants that.
Real quick, I saw that.
Go ahead.
Male, and it was on Instagram, and people had put it up there. And basically, he had the mindset of, I'm going to get what I want to get. I'm going to get it from you if I want it. I'm going to get it. And he was a male that was in prison that was basically boasting about raping men in prison. And he was very calm and cool and collective about it. And I went on YouTube and I watched the documentary and I was sick to my stomach because I watched the documentary, I read the comments on YouTube, and when I went back to Instagram, I'm not going to lie and I'm not being boastful, I was the only one that stated he's raping men saying, I'm going to get what I'm going to get regardless. This is what it is. I said, no one, yes, we should have tenacity to fight our day and to be positive and like, but this is what I want, this is what I'm going to get, but you can't equate the two. Raping a male in prison is not their sentence.
Right.
Can I just say
that prison rape jokes are not funny?
No, not at all.
It is not funny. It is not funny. If you're not going to make a joke about a woman getting raped on the street, then you should not be making a joke about a man getting raped in prison. I'm sorry.
Amen. But that's the fear that's implanted. That's, you forget the crime. You don't want to go to jail because you're going to get raped. There was something, and I'm reading these comments. There's about 37 comments, and I'm like, no one says what he's doing is wrong. And I don't know if it's my astrological side. I don't know if it's my background. I don't know if it's a God-given thing. But I'm like, yes, we should wake up every day and tackle our goals and passions. We should wake up every day with the attitude, if I want it, I'm going to get it. Because the dude's attitude was, I want you. If I'm going to get it, I'm going to get it. And there's nothing you could do about it. That's a good tenacity, but at the end of the day, you're not going to rape me.
Right.
We going ball to the wall. And as a man, how dare you strip me of something that's mine? And I got to fight for my sexuality. I got to fight for my essence. Men have an essence, too. Yes, they do. That's wrong. And no one looked at it like that. And I didn't get likes or comments on my statement, and that's okay because if I got to be the oddball out, that's what I'll be because at the end of the line, I'm a core person. That dude is wrong. He's raping men. He's saying, so what? This is my reality. If I want you, I'm going to have you. That's wrong.
Right. Sorry. No, that's okay. Let's see here. I've got probably a few more minutes left, and I just want to get to this last myth here. So the final myth that I want to cover, and then I want to open up the call, see if there's any comments or questions, and then maybe throw out a few little tidbits of information for resources before we end this call here. Because, you know, it's hard to believe, but it's already been almost an hour.
No.
It's been a good call. It's been good, and thank you for being with me here. So the last myth I want to cover is, what was that?
I said, no problem.
Okay, cool. Men who are raped are scarred for life. Ooh, I can tell you this is not true because I am a survivor, and I'm a thriver. Men can and do survive and do more than survive. They overcome, and out of that can come so many amazing things. You know, out of that, for me, has come this amazing organization and some healing and some things that I never thought were possible. You know, I'm going back to school, to graduate school, to become to get my master's in social work, to become a counselor so that I can counsel men who are, you know, dealing with these issues. So, yes, men who are raped and sexually abused, sexually assaulted, are definitely not scarred for life. Sure, there's pain, but you know what? You can always heal. And I just want to say that. So, okay, so let's just see if anybody wants to ask anything or comment. Press 5-star. You have anything you want to add to our call? Don't be shy. Or be shy if you want. That's okay. You can be shy. And I'll just, while we're waiting to see if anybody has any questions or comments, there are some resources available. So Strong to Survive, right now we're still working on setting up our 24-hour hotline. But until then, you can reach us on email, info@strong, the number 2, strong2survive.org, info@strong2survive.org, or you can reach us on Kick, @strong2survive, strong2survive, @strong2survive. 24 hours a day on Kick. Well, I say that, but, you know, I do sleep. So most of the time on Kick, I'm available for crisis interventions. I've already taken a few of those. And, you know, we want to be here to support you for any of your needs. If you are struggling, if you just want to talk to somebody, you're not alone as a male survivor, a male victim of abuse. We're here for you. RAIN.org, the Rape and Incest National Network. RAIN.org has a lot of resources available. They have a 24-hour hotline as well. One in six has a 24-hour chat line available. Oneinsix.org for male victims of sexual assault. MaleSurvivor.org has a lot of resources available as well. And we are partners with MaleSurvivor.org officially as of this year. So we are on their website listed as a preferred partner, Strong to Survive is. So that's great. You can find us on Instagram @strongtosurvive. You can find us on Tumblr, strongtosurvive.tumblr.com. Find us on Facebook. Find us on Twitter. We're all over the internet. So any questions, comments? I think what I'll do is just unmute the call and put people on the spot here. Make it awkward. How about that? Oh, maybe that was a bad idea. Hold on.
Oh. Hello?
Okay, go ahead.
Hello.
Go ahead,
hey, Eric.
Hey,
and Devon, this is Alex.
Hey, Alex. How's it going?
Doing well. Thanks for unmuting me. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Welcome.
Hey, you know, I just wanted to say, you know, it was wonderful hearing you guys talk about, you know, the topics that you guys were talking about. I think, you know, a lot of people, you know, all the callers or, you know, the people that listen, you know, got some good information. So you guys did a wonderful job. Even though I only heard the last half hour, you know, I'm on the road going back home, so I'm on a 4-hour drive.
Oh, man. Well, thanks for tuning in, Alex. We appreciate it.
No problem. I'll be tuning in, you know, every time you do this. So, and feel free to unmute me anytime. You guys did a wonderful job. Keep it up.
Thank you.
No problem.
All righty. Talk to you guys later.
All right. Thanks, Alex.
All righty.
Bye.
Eric, if I could just give you some words of encouragement. Can you hear me?
Yes.
One thing I was always taught growing up from now is, you know, if you can sing for one, you can sing for 1,000. If you can sing for 1,000, you can sing for 1,000,000. If you can play for one person, you can play for 100. If you can play for 100, you can play for 1,000.
Hmm.
What you're doing right now is dropping seeds. So never think for a moment that it's going, how can I put it, that it doesn't mean anything. Because you're talking from your heart, you're talking from a personal place, and literally I thought it was just me and you, that's two, then we had three, that's three. At some point, this podcast will reach more than three. And you keep your authenticity. What you went through was horrific. What you went through was supposed to be detrimental to who you are. But you learned somehow, some way to turn a negative into a positive. You're Job. Job was given everything and then it was all taken away. Because God said, he doesn't praise me, Job, for everything he's got. He's praying because he's my faithful servant. A faithful person goes through hell. And if you can talk to one person or no person, then all right. But if you can talk to no person and have that fight in you, that authentic spirit to speak to people, and you don't know who you're speaking to. And you're going to meet a lot of men that are going to call in and not say nothing. And you have to know, even though you hurt in the worst way and you went through all that hell, it was not in vain. And you might not ever meet someone that you bless. But you don't know who you're blessing. Well, I'm just going to tell you, keep doing your podcast. The first time you did it, I had the flu. I couldn't even chime in. It was after the fact. And my yammer was acting up. But I thank God because I made it a point to stay diligent and to be obedient and to chime in. No joke. I'm not speaking for me. I'm speaking as a female at times, as a mother at times, but I'm also a voice for those men that went through sexual abuse. I'm speaking for one student that I know went through sexual abuse, and I'm speaking up for a family member that went through sexual abuse because I know they'll never call. So you keep doing what you're doing, they might not call, but somebody else will, and then somebody else will, and then somebody else will. You didn't go
thank you so much.
I'm going to tell you that
now. Thank you so much, and I appreciate it, and I appreciate everyone being here. And that's all the time we have. So we will definitely be seeing everybody again. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Have a good night.
All right, you too.
Bye.
You too.
Bye-bye.